I'm Jill, a registered dietitian. When I meet with patients, they usually think I'm going to tell them to throw out their favorite snacks. But don't worry, your Cheetos are safe. That's not how this works. I help my patients build healthier habits based on their lifestyle and goals without guilt or restriction. Nourish connects dietitians like me with people like you who are ready to take control of their health. Your appointments could be fully covered through your insurance since 94% of Nourish patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Are you a bartender that dreads the phrase, "Hey, can you put the game on?" At Sports on What, we understand your pain and we're here to help. Over the air, satellite, cable, or streaming, Sports on What knows what channel the game is on and you can too. Follow your favorite teams, set alerts, and filter by provider to get the results you need. Stop wasting time searching and never miss kickoff again. Just download the Sports on What app and you'll always know how to watch the game. Available for Android and iOS. Start your 7-day free trial when you download Sports on What and subscribe today.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Random question, 206-803-ROCK.
Guess who it is, Ted?
James?
James,
random,
welcome to the
random,
Men's Room.
Random. How's it going, fellas?
Hola! James, welcome to the program. Random question.
All right, let's go with this one.
What did your parents not let you do growing up that other kids got to do?
Skip all of my sister's activities. Like, I got dragged to softball games, brownie, and Girl Scout.
They made you go to the Girl Scout meetings?
Yeah.
Was that because you were not allowed to be or too young to be left at home?
Oh, no. Mom left me home alone all the time. I really couldn't tell you why she dragged me to all these stupid events.
Is she an older or younger sister?
Older by 2 years.
Okay. And I mean, look, there's some things you're going to drag your kid to. I get it. But Girl Scouts and brownies, man, I would not put my son through that.
Did your mom do the same thing for you? In other words, if you're involved in Little League or whatever, did your sister have to go to all your games?
Oh, God, no.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
What is your theory on this?
I don't know, like, because I wasn't, like, involved in the Girl Scout meetings or any right. of that. Like, I was just, like, off in the back room to, like, well, you're here, you can go play with these two action figures or stack chairs or whatever.
So she would let you stay home alone, but if your sister had a thing, then she would drag your ass to it.
Oh, yeah. It continued, like, into, like, church youth group. Like, I was 2 years too young to be there. And, like, none of the older kids, like, wanted me there. So it was always super fun.
And was your sister super involved in things? So is this something like every weekend you were stuck going somewhere?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Wait, how old were you when that finally went away?
I stopped going, like, started protesting when I was around 12.
Okay. Did you have a dad in the house?
No. He was over in Othello.
Okay. Yeah.
But still, if your mom would leave you home alone, I don't understand why she would drag your ass to the last thing on earth that you had any interest in.
Right, it's like my mom would drag me to my sister's stuff, but when I got old enough to stay alone, that stopped.
I mean, there's little things where I go like, all right, you know, your sister's in a play. Just come see her, show some support. But if it were Girl Scouts, like, they don't want you there. And it's not even, I'm not opening your eyes to anything because this is not an organization you can join.
Right. Yeah. I think I put my foot down on going to service at about 14 years old.
Yeah.
Which was a knockdown, drag-out, screaming match with my mother and my stepfather. He was more on my side than not.
You didn't want to go either.
I just didn't want to go. And, you know, when you're that age and you've been going to church your entire life, you know, you get to a certain point where just watching the NFL football on Sunday, there were all these things that you and your friends would do together. And you weren't included. And not only that, but, you know, we had to go to Sunday school. So we started at 10 and did not get out till noon. So we would do an hour of Sunday school and then do an hour of regular service. So for us, it was 2 hours where the parents, they would like stand around and talk, drink coffee.
Have a donut.
They're social. They weren't doing stuff. They were just kind of networking with each other and talking about the neighborhood or whatever the deal was. But you had to sit there and like go to school. You know,
right.
And I'd had enough. I was like, look, I've done all this. It's time for me to be able to make my own decisions about what I believe and what I want to do with my own time.
And there's only a certain amount you can learn from this.
Correct.
If it brings you peace, go ahead and do it. But as far as the kid goes, like, I know what I need to know. Why do I keep? My parents were actually pretty good. I mean, they did not make me or prevent me from doing a lot of things. You know, they only got to meet like curfew. My dad was sharp on that. So whatever the curfew was, man, seriously, like if you got home 30 seconds late, it was an issue. He was super strict about that, but he did not prevent you from going somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I remember one thing, this sucked, man. I'm literally 2 blocks away from home. My curfew got bumped up to 10 p.m. Now, it's the summer, hanging out with a bunch of guys. They're in my friend's parents' kitchen. There's like 8 of us, whatever. And I look at the clock, and the clock says 9:45. I live maybe 2 minutes away. So I'm like, cool. Then I realized time has slipped by. I'm like, oh, crap. And this is pre-cell phone and all that. I wasn't wearing a watch. And I look at the clock again. It still says 9:45. And I realize, oh, no. I literally have no idea what time it is because obviously the battery and that clock has stopped working. So I'm just like, guys, I got to go home. I know it's late. And I probably already blew it. And I get home. It's like maybe 10:20. And my father, I mean, he is pissed. What time did I tell you to be home? I said, well, 10 o'clock. He's like, okay, it's 10:20. I said, hey, man, the house we're at, and they knew the kid. I said, they got a clock in the kitchen like everybody does. The battery's dead. He did not believe me. You know, he was thinking, that's a clever excuse, but BS. So basically, I got handed to me. My curfew got reduced. And I'm like, God damn, man. Like, I'm telling you the truth on this. The kitchen clock stopped at 9:45. It probably said 9:45 the entire time we were there. I just didn't bother to look until I knew I was up against it. But literally, that was it. So the next night, when everyone's going out, I'm like, bro, I got to be home at 9. I'm like, what happened? I'm like, your clock and your kitchen man changed the battery. He's like, oh, bro, that battery's been dead for like 6 months. I'm like, that's why I got in trouble.
Yep. Raise my ass, what did your parents not let you do that other kids got to do? The story says, my wife, Kathy, and I have 2 kids, Sadie, who is 10, and Melody, who is 8. Melody's friend, Aubrey, is having a birthday slumber party next month, and she has been invited. Now, Melody does have type 1 diabetes, recently began using an insulin pump, which has allowed her more freedom in terms of things like eating, not have to worry about injections.
Sure.
Her care team has been great in teaching her how to manage it, and she's been doing really well with oversight from my wife and myself. Now, Melody has been allowed to have friends over to our place for sleepovers, but we have never let her stay overnight at a friend's alone just due to her condition. Now, on prior occurrences, when Melanie has gone to a sleepover party, she's allowed to stay till after dinner is served. Then she has to go home.
That sucks.
So she's been lobbying big time to go to Aubrey's slumber party by herself and points out that we've been allowed Sadie to go to sleepovers by herself since she was 7. And given how well Melanie's been doing with her insulin pump, I think this would be a good opportunity for her to start having typical childhood experiences that her condition previously put limitations on. The trouble is my wife is adamantly against her staying overnight solo. As far as she's concerned, our previous way of doing things has worked well, and she sees no reason to fix something that's not broken. I think she's missing the whole point of getting Melody the pump, was to make it possible for her to become more independent. Audrey's parents are aware of her condition and have a nephew who was diabetic as well. They were even the ones who told us how much of a difference an insulin pump made in their lives, which put us on the same path to getting one for Melody. So they know how to provide help if she needs it, and I see no reason to think that our daughter would be at risk if she went on her own.
Yeah.
So, sleepovers. I think it really depended on whose house I was going to and who was going to be there.
Sure.
Because my parents knew that I had some friends who's like, my one buddy Pat, his dad was on the road all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he was more traveling, more so than
you're not spending the night there.
There's certain friends you couldn't go, you couldn't hang out with.
Yeah, who's going to be there?
Right.
Who's going to be watching you guys?
That was always the main question. Who's going to be there? And I was like, as a kid, we do not do that much research. But based on the age that I am asking you if I can spend a night somewhere, presumably one or both of the parents. What do you think we're going to do?
All right, let me ask you this. Did your parents ever get one wrong? Like, my mom, for years, would have no issue with, like, I was going out with Bernie or whatever. I mean, Bernie was the ringleader, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how to describe it. His family had a giant van. Like, if you needed to know where a party was or if you had to acquire a keg, you went to Bernie.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he was the man. But then my other buddy, John, who was a super nice dude and this and that, my mom, something happened once. She had it in her head that he was trouble.
He's the problem.
Right? So she'd be like, is John going to be there? And I'd be like, I could give up the goat and be like,
right.
You should be worried about Granzo, not John.
Yep.
Right? But she just, I mean, to this day, she'll still bring it up. And I'm like, Mom, what did John ever do? He was super nice.
My mother got it backwards. My buddy Tony, and Tony's a slick dude. He's a nice guy, but he was as up to no good as me. But my mother loved him, and he knew how to play it. So every time he came over to the house, oh, hey, Tony, how are you? Hello, Mrs. Hill. Then he'd always give her, like, this peck on the cheek, right? So in my mother's mind, she's like, that's the ultimate gentleman. And I'm like, you know, we're standing here talking to my mother. My mother's gushing over Tony, and I'm like, she does not know what we were doing 1 hour ago. And even if I told her, she would not believe it. To this day, she still thinks, and obviously we've grown up and all that, but still thinks, like, he was the sweetest guy and all that.
Is he a good guy now?
He was a good guy then. What my mom failed to realize, like, I'm a little more flippant about stuff. Like, if you call me, so I don't care if you're mad. It means nothing to me. I'm going to go ahead and do what I do. Yes, I know I'm in trouble, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, Tony was my wingman in 100% of these things. They just never believed that Tony was involved. Subsequently, Tony's mother had the same opinion of me, right? And I just did what he did, so his last name's Waddy, right? Oh, hey, Mrs. Waddy, how are you? Peck on the cheek, learned that from Tony. And somehow, that just lights mothers up, right? They just like, you're the greatest guy. And Tony would be mean mugging me, like, look, man, my mom feels about me the same way your mother feels about you. They both know we're up to no good, but somehow we have convinced the other mother that this is the best possible friend I could hang out with. And this went through all through our teen years, even early to when I first moved out of the house. Well, is Tony going to be one of your roommates? Legally, no. But reality, yes. Right. He just spent the night all the time. And it would drive me crazy. Then Leon would come over. And my mother's like, I don't trust Leon. And I'm like, well, you shouldn't. But also understand he's probably prevented me from getting my ass kicked as many times as Tony has put me in a situation where I might get my ass kicked. She never got
didn't
it.
Care. Didn't care.
No, didn't matter.
So in my world, it was not necessarily the kid involved, my friend involved. It was their parents. And if you don't understand the dynamic of adults knowing a lot of things, especially in a small community, a small town, about other people's parents, they know everything. So one buddy's dad's a dentist. I was not allowed to get in the car with him. All right, so like if we play on the same baseball team, Little League.
Yeah.
I had to walk home from the games, walk home from practice. I could never take a ride. If my parents saw me get out of his car, they would have grounded me.
What was his deal? What did they know about him that you didn't?
He kind of looked like Lloyd Bridges in Airplane. So every time you saw him, he was either under the influence of like nitrous cocaine or like stuff that I didn't even understand.
Right, you have no idea. Like,
but when they would go to parties and stuff, he was the one who got the drunkest. He was the one that kind of took people in the side rooms for entertainment. All these things I find out later in life.
Right.
But at that time, like he was a dentist. Which was a big deal. They lived in a huge-ass house.
Yeah, from a kid's perspective, this guy's made it.
I just want to go over to their house because he had all the toys. He had all the video games. There was a new video game that came out, whatever system he had. He always had the new ones. He had a three-wheeler. He had a go-kart. He had a cool bike. He had a basketball hoop at his house.
Yeah.
He had all the stuff, you know? But I was not allowed to spend the night because my mom was worried he was going to burn the house down.
That's fair, man.
It wasn't my friend. It was specifically his dad.
If that's the person responsible. I mean, look, as a parent now, and my kid, they're getting a little bit out of it now, but a couple of years ago, when sleepovers were much more exciting to them, it did kind of come down to the same thing. And look, my wife, she knows every parent of every kid of every parent, you know. I kind of recognize faces, I don't know, and she's like, hey, man, your son wants to spend the night at so-and-so's house. My perspective is like, great, it's a Friday night, dude, we're going to watch whatever, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, their parents are so-and-so. Rings no bells to me. And then she would say something to the effect of, you remember the guy that got arrested for, I'm like, oh, that's him? Yeah. But it sucks when you have to explain to your kid, because they're like, well, why not? You like so-and-so. I'm like, dude, he's a great kid. How about this? How about he spends the night here? And then the kids are like, yeah, okay, whatever. And I'm just like, all right, we dodged a bullet on that. The particular family I'm thinking of has since moved away. But it says, you know, my son's always like, why? What's wrong with him? I'm like, it's not your friend, man. But, yeah, you don't need to be in that house.
Random.
Yeah, it's weird what you know.
That's tough, yeah.
It is, man. So I must have some decent reputation because everyone spends a goddamn night at my house all the time. Seems that way. So I'm like, all right, we're doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
They're not scared to leave them with us, including, much like the guy that started the article with his kid having a medical condition. I can name any medical condition that any of my kids' friends have.
Right.
You know, at this point, we're like, just drop off the medication. We will remind them, and I'll do my best to revive them. That's always what I say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do what I can. No guarantees. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, man.
Hola.
Tom, how are you?
First time calling in, long time listener.
I appreciate
awesome
that.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Tom. Okay, let's give you this one. Not that you've ever thought about this in your lifetime, Tom, but what would you like to be named after you? Whether that's something that you're interested in, hobby-wise, or, you know, building. Or...
Well, I tell you, man, I tried with my son, and you should have seen the look my wife gave me.
Okay.
And I'm named after my... But if I got to have something named after me, like maybe a Harley Davidson.
All right.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
Now, would it be a big
the
one?
The Tom version.
Yeah, would it be a dragster, a roadster? What would it be?
I would want it to be a Springer, because that was the kind I had, and a Softail. I had the Heritage Springer, but maybe they could redo the Heritage again, because they only made it for 7 years, and it could be the Henderson Heritage Springer.
Do they ever do that for anybody in particular? You know what I mean? Like, obviously, shoe companies do it.
Sure.
You know, McDonald's does it with value meals that people put their name on.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that.
I want a value meal.
Well, look, man. Hey, I'm sorry. I might put that up there.
Really?
Yes.
The Miles Montgomery value meal?
Yes.
What do they get? I go to McDonald's.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I got to really think this thing through. But, I mean, it's going to be crazy good, whatever it is.
In your opinion, sure.
In my opinion, yes. Yeah. In my humble opinion. But instead of like a bridge or even a golf course or whatever, like that's fine. But I don't know, man. Something that kind of touches everybody.
I think you want yourself named after something. Tom, I think you nailed it on the head in the sense of it's a specific thing that somebody wants. Because like you said, the bridge, right. I'm only driving over the bridge because that's what gets me to where I'm going. I don't care who they named it after. You get me from point A to B. But if you name a Harley, in my case, a specific base with the bells and whistles.
Right. Yeah.
That, like, you are actively seeking this out because the thrill... And there's a couple of bass players.
Has anybody ever tried to buy something similar to the custom bass that you made from that same guy?
People have gotten ideas. The thing about my custom bass is if you want something like that, it's going to have to be custom, period.
Right.
There's not a lot of imagination. Well, probably. So when I first put out the idea of what I wanted on the bass. And there's a certain bells and whistles that a lot of guitars have that they don't put on bass. And I'm like, well, you know, a kill switch, just stuff like that. But there's a few other tricks within the bass so that you can actually be creative with it. You know, you can just play your standard bass line, right, which is fine. But you can also do something different, be creative. So other bass players that have seen it, they're like, that's really cool. And I'm like, look, man, it's just a matter of you have to get it custom made. Because they just don't, and like Fender basses are great, right? I love them. Music Man basses are fantastic, but they're still not going to make this. It doesn't come with the bells and whistles. You'll get great pickups and all this new technology, but it's not this, and it's not even freaking close. So when I first came up with the idea, I sent it out to some very reputable bass luthiers, if you will, And they straight up turned me down. They said, we're not even going to try to do this. And finally, I found the guy that would make it. And he makes basically a lot of studio basses for Nashville musicians. He's right outside of Nashville. So a lot of those studio guys, they'll play his crabs. They're not on tour and all that kind of thing. Anyway, he says, look, at the time he was doing it, I want to say it was like a 9-week turnaround on most basses he made. When I put my stuff in, he said, look, there's no way I can do this in 9 months, but I like the challenge you put in front of me. So this, or 9 weeks, this is going to take closer to 9 months. And I said, bro, take your time because I've never had it before, right? There's no hurry because right, yeah. I've never had it. So what was cool was when it got down to like the last 2 weeks, and he kept me updated with pictures and all this kind of thing of what's going on. The coolest thing was, he goes, all the studio guys that he just kind of hangs out with, they heard what it is I was making for you. They said, like, good luck on that. And he crushed it, by the way. But anyway, like, they started watching the progress. And when he had the finished product, he actually sent me an email and says, do you mind if some of these guys play it before I send it to you? Because they've been watching the process. And now that it's almost done, like, they're excited to F around with it. I said, please, man, let them. And they did. And he's like, dude, glowing reviews. I can't say anything bad. But I would love if they mass produce that and be like, yeah, man, that's the thrill goddamn bass for people that want to play goddamn bass. That's what it is.
Reason we asked, what would you like named after you? Believe it or not, speaking of Nashville, there is a petition to rename Nashville Airport after Dolly Parton. And
all
it's
right.
picking up steam, which makes sense. She is the queen of Nashville. It was put up on change.org in January. But believe it or not, this is actually legitimate, and it's picking up some media attention, and it's picking up steam. So instead of the Nashville International Airport, it would be called the Dolly Parton International Airport.
All right.
You'd be departing from Parton.
Nice.
It'd be open all hours of the day, not just 9 to 5. You could fly out another time.
Hey.
So far, the petition has gotten over 48,000 signatures. I think if there's one guy. There's one guy in Seattle where I think everybody would be on board and go, you know what? We have no problem naming the airport after one guy.
One guy from Seattle.
One Seattle.
It's the
maybe
same
two.
Musician.
Maybe two. Maybe two.
I mean, Jimi Hendrix.
That would be the
that
first
That would be
pick.
Cool as hell.
And the second
Hendrix.
Pick. Bruce Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you either know. One of those two guys would get enough steam to be able to maybe get SeaTac named after them.
What if it's called the Bruce Hendrix?
See,
the Bruce
think,
Hendrix Airport.
Like the Kenny G Airport's not going to I'm just saying. It's
no, man.
That's over by Walla Walla and Wine Country.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
All right, fair. Or if it's a
yeah,
small.
You're right. That's an independent airport, man.
And I really think Bruce Lee and Hendrix are the only two. I mean, you could say Paul Allen or, you know, Bill Gates or whatever, but I don't know if people would get behind that as much as they would.
It's like,
you know,
good for them,
somebody
but nobody
that
cares.
Entertained
yeah.
them that's legendary, you know? More of the Random Question coming up, 206-803-ROCKS.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Attention, ladies in the Leawood area. Beaumont Health and Wellness is here and offers award-winning wellness and beauty treatments like hormone therapy, weight loss, body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Right now, get our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to recharge your body. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
I'm going to guess the roof will be closed tonight for the Mariners game.
Holy God.
The best Major League ballparks coming up and hot sauce. That is your categories. On your guess is as good as mine. I just realized that. Yes. If you're on hold there, we just lost all the calls. So give us a call back, 206-803-ROCK. But yes, your guess is as good as mine coming up at 4:30. I will give you guys one in the meantime.
Random.
Should be an easy one to answer. What was, what would you guys say is one of the more dumb things that you did as a teenager?
Whether you
got caught or not, whether you got in trouble for it or not, looking back, you go, God, that was stupid.
Man, I don't know, more just getting into trouble with quote-unquote rival kids, perhaps is the best way to put that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like the big physical confrontations and physically showing up in their neighborhood to throw down over nothing.
Right.
Yeah, well, looking back, nothing at the time is the most important thing we could do. But, I mean, it got bad, man.
Yeah. I think mine, looking back, just the stupidity of it, there was a car dealership that was on an exit right before the Pennsylvania border. Right. And if you pulled over on that exit, it was just a two-lane road, county road, and this car dealership. And they had like maybe one or two lights out in the front. That was about it. But they also had a used car lot beside it that was on the gravel portion of the property. Now, me and my buddy kind of had a little knowledge there that they didn't always lock the doors on the used cars as much. They had a bigger indoor showroom for the new cars. They had, so, you know, your new cars outside too. But they had all the used cars outside. They would not lock the doors. We could find a way in. Sometimes it was the fact that they left the trunk unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
And you could kick your way through the back seats. And we would pick a radio we wanted and take that and then put that into our own car. And we'd always look for one that we could upgrade. So the gold mine was, at one point in time, I just got a new car. Radio was fine in the car. I just wanted to upgrade. So I found a car that had an Alpine in it.
Ooh, okay. That was the S back in the day.
And was able to pull that bad boy out of the dashboard and take that home and put it in my car. Of course, I installed it wrong. So every time I switched gears, it got nyee, nyee, and whined through the speakers.
I could hear it through the speaker.
I didn't ground it correctly. But either way, that's one of the dumber things that I remember doing growing up. It's just like breaking into a car and stealing the stereo out of it. And sometimes to the speakers.
Oh, really?
Well, depending on what they had.
How many times do you think you did this?
Twice. One for me, one for my other buddy.
Okay.
So my partner in crime, we both got a car stereo, and we both got a set of speakers. I got a set of back speakers. I think he got all four. I think he pulled the door panel off, got the speakers out of there.
Yeah, like, I don't remember stealing anything that bad. I definitely remember, like, Thrill saying, like, we would roll up places, like, 20 deep. Be like, heard there's beef with the DeBatha guys. Let's go over there and settle it.
Right.
Which, exactly. Of course, would never happen because there's 20 of us.
Yeah.
I think the dumbest thing, just as a teenager, we didn't really think about it. And I feel bad now for the poor maintenance guy, but there wasn't a lot of places to kind of go and drink. So we would park on this road, and then we could cut through just, like, quickly through the woods. And you were on the University of Maryland golf course.
All right.
So, I mean, we would just sit on the greens and drink. Like,
yeah.
Saint Ives special brews and stuff. But as I'm older now, I'm like, oh, we must have torn up those greens. Like,
but you
that probably
think
was
about
a pain in
the
butt. Like, we didn't think about it at all. We would just... It was just like a secret little spot that wasn't hard to get to.
Yeah, we were doing, I thought about that. We would hang out on the golf course and drink. Same thing. You weren't effing with the golf course, but you were there. But there was one night, we see the lights kind of hit us and the little vehicles come. And, you know, I don't know what horsepower these things are, but we take off running. And I just remember as we're running, because you're kind of laughing. Because as a teenager, if you're in danger, you also laugh while you're panicking.
Yeah.
And I look to my left, and my buddy Tony, the very innocent Tony, as my mother would say, he looks like Superman. And it was weird because I'm like, how is he flying? And what we find out later, he broke his nose this day. But what we found out was, as we're running, he tripped over a sprinkler head and it launched him airborne. And that's why when I looked, you know, he's just flying through there, but he landed on his face, man. So by the time we all kind of met up later, everyone's kind of chuckling. He's the only guy that's got grass stains on him. His nose is just bleeding profusely. But his big thing was like, what am I going to tell my mother happened to my nose?
Right.
You know, that's the whole thing. Well, I said, man, just tell her you got into a fight. It's Baltimore. She'll believe you.
We were at a house party once. The same thing. Cops showed up. Obviously, the kids shouldn't have been having the party. And there's like, you know, like the old wooden fences that everybody had in their yards?
Yeah.
To kind of separate them. So people are trying to like scale it. We're just, I don't know why. We weren't really that scared. Maybe it's because we had just got there. Like, cops aren't going to mess with us. But one girl who was not smaller, she went to climb that fence, and it fell over.
Oh, no.
And then we laughed at her, just walked over.
Did it fall on her, or did she fall
on it? No, she fell, like, flat down. She was, like, screaming. I think she was in pain. I knew her, but, like, the cops were coming, and we just walked right by her.
Okay.
Pretty heartless.
Yeah. Speaking of golf courses, one of my friends lived in a development where.
Right. Can you imagine? Because we're already laughing. Like, I can't believe she's trying to scale that fence. Bam, it falls over. So then we're like, let's just go that way.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know.
She cleared a path.
We like stepped over her, but it was pretty close.
Yeah. We used to play one hole of night golf at this private golf course. It was a country club. It was gated in the front, but where my one friend lived, if you walked 100 yards through the woods on a trail, then you could get on the golf course.
Okay.
So we would go over to his house and, you know, spending the night doing whatever we do. We'd walk the trail. We'd go to the hole. If it was a full moon or any kind of light out, you could basically see what you were doing. And we would just play this one hole. And we played for hours.
Yeah.
We never destroyed anything. But it was right by the turn stand, and the turn stand was just a men and women's bathroom and a soda machine.
Yeah.
The sodas were 50 cents, but they, because it was private, they had beer in there for a dollar.
Ooh.
Nice. So they had like two or three varieties of beer, Budweiser, whatever, Coors, sure, whatever the hell's in there. But for a dollar and quarters, so we would just get all our quarters together, and we would drink beer and play that golf course, play that one hole, you know, four or five times, do side bets, do everything else.
That's kind of awesome, man.
And just drink. And we weren't destroying anything. It wasn't we were stealing anything. We just shouldn't be there, shouldn't be drinking underage, and not playing the golf course at night.
Sure, so sure.
All those things kind of fell into place. But other than that, we felt like that was pretty harmless.
We weren't teenagers, but I knew another friend in their house. I think it was the same University of Maryland golf course. But their backyard backed up to it. So we would just hide in the woods, and then if you hit a tee shot in the fairway, we would just run out and steal it. And then people could figure out we were in the woods, and it was always pretty funny because they got really mad.
Oh, of course.
But a couple guys would tee up balls and launch them into the bushes where we were hiding. That's when we stopped.
Yep. Reason we asked, what's the dumbest thing you did as a teenager? Here's a doozy. According to the Rio Ranch Observer, a member of a junior varsity baseball team at Rio Rancho High School in New Mexico is facing 15 counts of battery after he was charged with a violation, police say occurred when his squad hosted another baseball team on March 25th. It was, they say, pretty clear something was amiss when Rio Rancho announced every member of the JV team had been suspended last week. And on Friday, they got some insight into that decision after the town's police department announced it had charged an unidentified 16-year-old player with urinating in the water cooler of the visiting team's dugout ahead of the game. Now, while the player is obviously innocent until proven guilty, the problem is he has already admitted to urinating in the jug while encouraging the families who received some of that water to consult with a doctor if they believe their child drank the tainted water.
Damn.
Now, they say drinking a small amount of urine probably going to kill you. Generally, just not advised, even if you do so willingly. So the investigation continues, but basically right now, he made a statement to police and said, yeah, I peed in the water.
I mean, at least he owned up to it. Not that that makes anyone feel better.
Random.
Hello, Tyler. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Hola.
Tyler, doing well. How are you?
Pretty well.
Okay. Tyler, let's go with this random question. How did you get screwed over?
Well, I had a buddy of mine that I let come live with me just on the whim. He had nowhere to go. Stopped paying rent because I wouldn't buy him any more food. So I got screwed with that.
Wait, he stopped paying you rent because you would not buy him food?
Yeah.
Okay.
How long did he stay with you?
He was with us probably for about 4 months.
But why was it your obligation to buy him food?
I don't know. It's because at first I'm the nice guy. At first you move into my house, I'm going to feed you, but expenses started getting tight. So
well, I don't think that's an unfair statement. Like, dude, you just just buy your own groceries.
Yeah. And when this guy left, I go into his room because, well, we need to clean up because we're getting kicked out because, well, he left us. I go in there, piles upon piles of fast food bags just littering his room.
But so he needed you to buy groceries. Okay.
Yeah.
But did you get kicked out because of him?
Probably. I mean, I probably could have fixed some expenses. I was younger, not as smart with my expenses, but it was definitely still a struggle that would have been a lot easier if he was.
I had a roommate that can not do the same thing, but basically, you know, everyone was in charge of one bill in my house.
Right.
When we all lived together. That way it wasn't one person taking on the responsibility, everyone fiscally. Sure. It was just like, look, you pay the electric bill, we'll pay you. You know, you pay
tell
the
us
cable
what
bill,
it is, right.
Phone bill, you pay that. We all pay for our own individual rent, but on the individual stuff, we would just put one person's name in that bill. All right. So my buddy Nui, I can't remember what the bill was, but it was like the electric bill, utility bill, whatever the deal is. But we always gave him money, always gave him cash, and he was supposed to pay that bill. But we never saw the bill because Nui was always at home earlier than everybody else, always got the mail.
Sure.
Finally, one day, Nui's not there. I get the bill. We are 6 months delinquent on this bill.
Oh.
About ready to cut the power off.
Mm. What is he spending the money on?
Video games.
Whatever.
Music. Jesus. Just stop spending. Yeah. Food, fast food, all these things. And the thing was that it was... We owed so much money that none of us had it in us.
Of course.
To be able to make rears, to come up with all this money for like 6 months of a bill. Because it was going to cost us each like $300 a piece.
Oh, man.
But we'd given him the money on a monthly basis. He just never paid the damn bill. So the question, how did you get screwed over? A Montreal man, he's fighting a parking ticket he says was given minutes after Cruz set up a bus stop, apparently without warning. Follow along. Lino Mastelloni says early in the morning of April 1st, his daughter showed up and gave him a ticket she'd received of her car parked overnight on the street in front of their home. It wasn't an April Fool's joke, but he says there was a lot of confusion. You see, there'd never been a bus stop in front of his house. The night before, there's parking on the street.
Wait, he parked in front of his home?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
But after looking at their doorbell camera video, the family says the Transportation Department of Montreal workers were out front and they put up a new bus stop sign on their front lawn shortly before 8 a.m. They say the video then shows a city parking agent ticketing the car at 8:05.
Wait, it went up at 8?
The sign went up at 8. They had no notice.
And that 5 minutes later.
That they were going to even have a bus stop. Not only was the sign in their yard, but they just erected it at 8 a.m., she was parked there the night before. They give her a ticket at 8:05. So he called 311, but was told they can't cancel a ticket that was already issued. So he would have to contest the fine. So he says, now I got to waste my time to go to contest this ticket. And if they refuse, I actually got to go to court and spend 4 or 5 hours in a courtroom to fight the ticket, which is completely wrong. I'd have to miss work. He said the new sign should have been flagged well before it went into effect.
You don't say.
Now, the agency says they do not inform area residents of the installation or relocation of a stop, adding there are approximately 10,000 bus stops in the city of Montreal. So drivers need to be vigilant. They said he's got a good case, but he has to contest the fine. And there's nothing he could have done to prevent it. I mean, you're not going to go and check every 5 minutes to see if they're changing signage and then move your car.
Right.
He adds that since the sign went up, he has not seen any buses on his street. So they haven't even started the route yet. They're getting ready for it, but there's no reason for them not to be able to park there yet.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Random.
Hello, Ray. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Ray, welcome to the program. And the random question. Okay. Let's see here. Okay, since we're talking about getting tickets for no reason, what, let me think here. All right, no, I'm going to go with a different one.
Oh, I got a good ticket, man.
What'd you get?
Okay, so,
I'm mad at my wife still to this day. Okay? I am asleep in the back of the car. Okay? Now, when it comes to my wife and I, she's an angel. I'm a devil.
Of course.
And I drive like a race car driver, and she drives like a grandma, which she is. We are grandparents. But anyway, I'm in the back seat of the car sleeping. Okay? She's driving. Our son's in the car, our oldest son, and he's in his 20s because we're going to a casino.
Okay.
And she freaking gets pulled over for speeding. Okay? She's the perfect driver, right? She don't do stuff like this. Okay? But she's yakking to her oldest son and loses track of her speed. She gets pulled over for speeding. Okay? They wake my ass up, pull me out of the car, and they're like, well, you're getting a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt. I'm like, man, I was sleeping. They're like, we don't care. You didn't wear a seatbelt. Her ticket was $85. Mine was $145.
So did
you get a separate ticket from her?
Yeah, I got a separate ticket from her because I was sleeping in the back seat without having a seatbelt on.
Is it a law that you must have a seatbelt on in the back seat if you're sleeping? Or just in general? Really?
In general.
I did not know that.
I didn't either.
Yeah, when I was driving around with my buddies one time, and the cop pulled me over because my buddy was snoozing in the front seat, and he clearly didn't have a seatbelt on.
That's fair.
And he came up to the window, and he says, "I need your license, and I need your license." And he pointed to my buddy, and yeah, both of us could have faced a ticket for that one.
Okay,
huh?
That's wild.
I just thought that back seat you did not. I did not know.
No, period. Like, yeah. If you're in the car, you need to be seatbelted in. And as the driver, you need to not move until people are seatbelted into your car.
Okay. Random. Hello, random, Daniel. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
We're doing fine. How are you, Daniel?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Hey, really quick, can I expand upon your idea to rename SeaTac?
What would you pick?
Okay, so, no, I want to expand on it. You guys want Hendrix and Lee? I want to add Cobain. So we have HLC International Airport.
All right. HLC. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Hendrix, Lee, Cobain. I think it makes awesome sense.
All right. Not a bad idea. All right, Daniel, let me see here. What do I got for you? Okay, let's go this one. Daniel, who have you been mistaken for? Who were you mistaken for?
So there are actually two people I get mistaken for. When I wear my glasses, I look
Clark
like
Kent.
Bob Sack. Huh?
No, go ahead.
When I wear my glasses, I look like Bob Saget. And when I don't wear my glasses, I look like McLovin. Oh, I get confused with them all the time. And
McLovin,
they always
huh?
joke amongst all of my friends.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. That did not expect
Do you have a McLovin fake driver's license?
No, I do not. But in my 20s, I had a very, very youthful looking face. So people gave me crud about it all the time.
Okay.
Hey, don't take no crud, man.
All right.
People get crud, I get angry.
I've often said that McLovin looks like a glassesless Bob Saget.
Bob Saget, yeah.
You've been mistaken for...
Jerry Rice.
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman, where the sushi chef would not... stop bowing at me. Like, I interrupted the meal just based on I'm facing where he's making my sushi. We're down in Miami at this point. And every time I glanced up, as you do, he's looking at me smiling. But as soon as we made eye contact, he would, like, put his hands together and bow. Like, ah. And I'm like, look, I don't know why he's doing it. My wife's like, what is with this guy? I'm like, look, dude, I don't know. But culturally, do I bow back? I mean, like, what do you do? But seriously, for the hour we're there, this mofo must have bowed at me like 30 freaking times. And I'm like, this is insane. With this big ass, like Steve Harvey smile on his face, man. Right. So the waiter finally comes up and says, hey, man, look, I know that you are not, but the chef is convinced that you're Dennis Rodman. I'm like, that's the ugliest mother effer on the face of the planet. Really, man? Mm-hmm. But I got about half my meal for free. So I'm like, awesome. Dennis, it awesome. Shall be.
And you got Snoop Dogg, too, right?
That was on the plane. We got first class tickets sitting on the plane. I'm in the final row of first class. So as you're watching everyone else get on, you know, it takes forever, right, for people to load in. And there's this old white dude. He's probably like 75 years old. I see him get on. We make eye contact. No big deal. I kind of glance back down at my book. I look back up. He's still looking at me. And I'm like, I just feel like he wants to talk to me. So maybe he's a fan of the show. We're flying back to Seattle, so it makes sense. There's Seattle people. And so when he finally gets next to me, he leans down, and this is the exact quote. Hey, you're not the Snoop Dogg, are you? And I was the Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
Nah, brother. I said, he's too cool for me, man. I'm not.
Yep.
Okay. I wanted to make sure.
Reason we asked, who were you mistaken for?
The Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
Hey, it must be one of those rappers. You're in first class.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Hugh Grant, the actor, was mistaken at immigration at London's Heathrow Airport recently. Hugh revealed in a tweet that they quizzed his children this past Friday. Quote, just came through Heathrow with the wife and children. We all have the same last name on our passports. Immigration officials engages my children in chit-chat, then whispers to my one kid, are these your mom and dad? That was intrusive, insulting, and creepy. You and his wife, Anna.
That's what they ask, dude. Relax.
They have three kids together, 12, 9, and 7. He has two kids with another woman. Not clear which kids he was traveling with. He believes it's this. He's 64 years old, and he looks too old to have kids that young. So maybe that's the fact with the older guy with the young kids, maybe raise some red flags, but either way.
You're traveling internationally. My son looks just like me if I had hair, and they ask him every time, are these your parents? And like I said, my son will point at me and be like, that guy? Where I'm like, bro, damn it, man. Not funny in an airport, man.
He thinks it is.
Yeah.
Coming up, your guess is as good as mine. Our categories today, Major League Ballparks and Hot Sauce. That is coming up at 4:30. If we got your emails on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.